honest teeth, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Room. I'm Bob Bupke, here with St. Louis golf icon Jay Randolph Jr., better known on Twitter as STL Golf Geek. Welcome, Jay. Another week of golf behind us, and there's definitely a buzz in the air.
Well, Bob, that's right. It is Tiger time, and we shall see what he does at the Hero World Challenge, his own event. Who knows what's going to happen, my man?
Well, I'm so confused. I watched his press conference today, and, you know, the question that I that really riled me up, to be perfectly honest, he was asked, you know, what's the difference now than, you know, out at Silverado and the Safeway Open? And he went on into this long dissertation of things that are different, that he doesn't know the golf course, and, you know, he couldn't practice during the Ryder Cup. But Tiger, I felt like screaming at the TV, saying, Tiger, all of that was true the Friday before the Monday when you withdrew. I mean, you hadn't practiced. It was a different golf course. So that really is not a right answer. But there's no doubt that he moves the needle. And just the amount of media that were there today at the press conference for Tiger, it's absolutely incredible. I've had radio outlets all over the globe, to be perfectly honest, calling. They want to get more information about Tiger. Because that's what he does. I mean, but come on, the guy's won 14 majors, 79 PGA Tour events. I guess he's earned that kind of recognition.
Well, absolutely. I mean, no matter what anybody wants to say, this is the guy that still moves the needle and changes things up. And I saw it yesterday on Twitter. I mean, all of the golf writers and people talking about it, and now with the Bridgestone ball and what driver, and, you know, we're not even there to the opening bell. I mean, it's the lead up is going to be unbelievable when he hits that first shot, along with Patrick Reed playing alongside his buddy Patrick Reed from the Ryder Cup. But again, we still are left with, what are we going to see? And I guess we're actually going to see it Thursday.
Well, that's a good point, Jay. And obviously, it really is some measure of success that he's actually here. And as we're speaking, he is slated to tee it up on Thursday. We still have to wait and see if that indeed does happen. All indications are it's going to be a go, but it is a success, him being here.
After 15 months off of not competing, because things have improved so much that I'm able to come back here and do this again. It hasn't been easy. People around me and who know me, and have my physios, my friends, family, they know how hard it's been to get to this point. It's taken a lot of work, but I'm here.
Taking a lot of work, but, you know, when you got a couple $100 million in the bank, it's a lot easier to devote as much time as you need to your physical condition. So probably not that hard. He does bring up a valid point, Jay, and maybe you know something about it. Maybe you don't. I certainly don't. He references nerve injuries are completely different than muscle or bone injuries. Can you weigh in on that?
Well, and that was the talk initially when people started saying the back. You know, you start thinking of your back and all this and that. It's actually the nerves and the nerve endings. And, you know, that does play a part in how you swing it and how you feel. And, you know, I think it's interesting that he's bringing those things up to try and just kind of say, hey, maybe there was a little more to it. Maybe the second surgery was the key. And as we know, Bob, a lot of people felt like his golf swing when he came back initially from the first surgery wasn't the type of swing one would choose after that type of surgery. So there's been a lot that's gone on. And you're right. It is, I guess, in a sense, just a success that he's there and apparently going to tee it up. You know, I mean, what do you expect? I think that's the thing that I've asked a lot of people this week. I mean, if he played four rounds at level par, how strong would that be? I don't know.
Well, we just heard from Dr. J. Why don't we listen to what Tiger has to say about that nerve injury?
When I had my knee redone and it was completely blown, I knew it was 9 months, but I knew it could come back from it. It's not nerve damage. When you're dealing with a spine and you're dealing with nerves, it's a totally different deal. And talking to Davis, Davis had his neck fused. He had tingling down his arm. He couldn't feel his fingers anymore. Now, that's, you know, your career could be over. Had it fixed, came back in one, you know, last year. But each individual spinal injury is different, and has its own little personality. With nerves, you just don't know.
Oh, you just don't know. We'll find out a little bit more on Thursday morning. Hey, Jay, what about the clubs he has in the bag this week? TaylorMade, M2 Driver, and their Fairway Wood. He's going to be using the Nike irons and wedges, the Scotty Cameron putter, no surprise there. The Bridgestone ball, actually, Bridgestone made the Nike ball, so not a big change there. I guess the big surprise, maybe the TaylorMade M2 Driver?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest story here when you look inside the bag. You're dead on the Bridgestone ball. My Bridgestone rep here in St. Louis, Missouri, Jim Mason, a guy that played in the Masters 1 year, talked a little bit to me about the fact that they felt like he was going to go ahead, and instead of having Nike stamped on that ball, it was going to have the Bridgestone name. I do think the TaylorMade driver is going to be the thing that people look for. You know, a lot of people – I've always found it, Bob – easier to find a driver than a three wood. So it'll be interesting to see how he does with the fairway woods. But the talk right now is the fact that Tiger's carrying that TaylorMade M Deuce.
Well, I want our listeners to pay special attention to what he has to say, because this can help you in your club championship. This could help you when you're trying to shoot the lowest round you've ever shot. You have to plug in that adrenaline factor, and it's something that you can't replicate in practice. Here's what Tiger had to say.
I'd say probably the most concerned is trying to get a feel for the distance. You know, I haven't had adrenaline in my system in a while. And having that surge of adrenaline through my system, how much further is this ball going to be going? I know it generally it's a half a club, but is it going to be more than that? Because since I haven't played, or is it going to be less than that? Or be about that? Throughout my career, I've been pretty good at hitting the ball pin high. And I'm concerned about that, what my body's going to be feeling, the energy, the surge of adrenaline going through my system. I've got all the clubs that I've tested and I feel pretty confident with. I know that after this event, I'm going to do, you know, more testing and figure a few more things out. But as of right now, I'm ready to go.
Well, it's not a good sign to me saying that after this event he's going to test more clubs out. That's like a guy saying, yeah, I'm going out on this blind date, but I'm going out on another one next week.
Well, there are a lot of things that he says in the news conference that I don't want to say are excuses, but they are things that he's pointing out that if things don't go very well, he can point to. I think the adrenaline might be a little bit too much. I think the adrenaline, as you said, Bob, is there when you're playing for the club championship, or it's there on a Sunday afternoon if you're in contention on the back nine. It's not going to be there on the fifth hole on Thursday. So I'll be interested to see his distance control in those first 2 days. But, you know, the Tiger Woods that we've seen play before and that we want to see play again may not be possible. It may be a different type of Tiger Woods that gets it done in different ways. The other thing that hasn't been addressed, Bob, this man had the chip yips, if you will. If he had a tight lie around a green, he looked like you and me. He didn't know what to do. And that's going to be one of the things to watch, especially playing down there on that firm grass in the Bahamas, is when he gets up around the green, what type of shots is he going to play?
You know, that's a great point because, you know, putting yips, chip yips, that's something that you never want to have. You know, I've been at all 14 of Tiger's major championship victories. I've been at well over 65 of his regular tour wins. And what was amazing is when he was asked today what his objective is for this week, it's the same answer I heard all those other times. You're not going to believe what Tiger said when asked what he expects to do this week.
Well, I'm going to try and do the same thing I always do. I'm entering the event. I'm going to try and win this thing. I know that Bubba went low and shot 25 under. That's going to be a tall order. I hadn't played in a while, shooting 25 under, and it's going to be a little hard. But hey, I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to be focused. I'm going to try and do what I can do and put the ball in the correct spots, give myself looks, and try and bury these putts and post scores and get myself in that mix come Sunday afternoon. I know that's a tall order because since I've been away from the game for so long and I've made a lot of different changes in my game, but the mindset's still the same.
I know one thing. My mindset every time I teed it up for a few bucks was I want to beat these guys. And no matter how much I kept telling my mind about that, when I came in, I was reaching for my wallet. So you need a little bit more than mindset to get the job done, especially when you're playing against the best players in the world.
Here's the difference, Bob, is he's got that mindset. And he knows how to win. He's been trained to win. And he's got that feeling of being ready to compete again. The problem will be is if he can't compete. I mean, that's going to be the thing. He talked about 25 down winning. I mean, there's going to take some time, at least I think, for him to get back into contention and get all that going. But mentally, he still thinks that that's the place he's supposed to be. So it's going to be very interesting to watch that aspect.
And, of course, you bring up a great point there about, it's going to be interesting to see what he's going to do. But, you know, when we look at the other 17 players in this field, and that's certainly one advantage to Tiger, it's only an 18-player field. There is no cut, so he is going to play 72 holes. But some of those names in there, I mean, Henrik Stenson, you know, Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama. I mean, I can go on and on. Dustin Johnson, U.S. Open champion, Ricky Fowler. I mean, these are guys that, you know, are not only playing, on a regular basis right now, but they're playing at the top of their games. And how Tiger thinks he can compete with these guys is going to be pretty amazing to see how he pulls it off.
I saw on Twitter, Bob, somebody had listed the field and they had gone down each player in their world ranking. And it was like 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 10, you know, 12, 13. 14, and then the last one was 698 being Tiger Woods. You're exactly right. I mean, this is a stellar field. These guys, when they're on like a Dustin Johnson or Brant Snedeker, I mean, every single one of these guys is a world-class player.
And I'm sure a lot of our Grow Room listeners are probably asking the question, how did Tiger get in this elite field? Well, he disclosed that earlier. He said the committee has the option of allowing one player outside the top 50 in the world to compete. On that committee, there was only one person. I'll leave it to your imagination to figure the name of the person, the committee that allowed Tiger to tee it up. It is at the Albany Golf Club, Jay. You know that. It's down in the Bahamas. I think maybe you have a house there because Tiger told us that 10% of the billionaires in the world have property there at the Albany Golf Club. You one of them?
Hey, you're the one that's friends with our new president-elect and Herb Kohler and all these big guys. I just get them their clubs when they need them if they show up at Normandy.
Well, they'd be lucky to show up at Normandy. Certainly a great, great golf course. If you're ever in the St. Louis area, I highly recommend that. Ernie Els is in the area. He's in the Bahamas, but he's not in the field. He did design that golf course.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, Audio Boom, and the Armed Forces Radio Network, as well as Talk Sport 2.
Thanks for listening to The Grill Room. Let's quickly catch up on what happened at the World Cup down in Australia last week. Søren Nielsen and Thorbjørn Olesen from Denmark, they won their country's first World Cup. I'm going to ask Jay about that victory, but right after we hear from the winning pair.
Well, a win is amazing, and I think what's so special about it is that we don't get to, you know, lift trophy with another player very often. So to try that and to get that team feeling is just makes it even more special, I think, than winning an individual event. So, but obviously, you know, we both have good years, and then we sort of finish it off like this, and obviously it builds the confidence hugely.
I think one of the key, me and Søren, we sort of played our own game out there. And I think that really helped us. You know, we were not talking too much about the shots. We were playing our own ball, and it worked out really well. It's been, like Sean said, a great week, and it's been a lot of fun for us. So.
Great week indeed. Hard to imagine, Jay, that, you know, being from Denmark, you're going to win the World Cup.
Stunning, in fact, really, Bob, when you think about it. I was glad that both Soren and Thorbjørn thanked Thomas Bjørn kind of for being the leader of golf in Denmark. But that's a staggering win. I mean, you and I talked about it last week, about how many solid duos there were for different countries, including the U.S. This is a significant win. I mean, the U.S. has had a lot of domination in this event. That's changed over the years. But to think of Denmark winning the World Cup, that says a lot about where golf is in the world. That's huge.
Yeah, different country winning the last 11 World Cups. The event started back in 1953. England won it a couple of times. How about Arnold Palmer? Either with Jack Nicklaus or Sam Snead, he won it 6 times. Old Arnie, one of the players that we lost here in 2016 as the calendar winds down, and Peggy Bell also passing away. Yes. Legendary down at Pine Needles, 95 years old, one of the original members of the LPGA, and Jay, just an outstanding person. Loved every opportunity I had to speak with her. She was a real positive influence, not only on people that played golf, but a positive influence if you wanted to be a better person.
Just a grand lady, Peggy Kirk Bell, affecting so many lives. I met her only once on the range at Pinehurst. She was working with a junior golfer, and you could just see the passion in her eyes. So many people affected by Peggy Kirk Bell. I'm glad you mentioned her, Bob.
And finally in the Grow Room this week, Jay Mann, it's time for the PGA Tour Champions Qualifying School, being played at the Magnolia Course in Disney World in Florida. Some interesting names appearing down there. Paul McGinley, European Ryder Cup captain. John Vandeveld, who should have won the Open Championship back in at Carnoustie, I believe, in 1999. And then maybe a player with the toughest nickname ever to try and win on a golf course. You know, if your nickname is Choker, I think it would be tough to win. But if your nickname is Last Call, then it's really tough to win. And I'm talking about the caddy that's been out there for a while, but a good stick in his own right, Lance Tenbrook, nicknamed affectionately Last Call. Our listeners can figure out why. And you have a good friend doing well in the early going, Jay.
Yeah, round one in the books in St. Louis, and Jay Williamson, who quit playing on the tour about 5 years ago, just said he couldn't hit it with the young kids coming out. He shoots 5 under par 67 to start things off, and Jose Caceres is right there at 6 under, Scott Parrell at 7 under. As people say, this is golf's greatest mulligan is the Champions Tour, and it might be for Jay Williamson, or it might be for Lance Call, Last Call Lance.
Yeah, and Jay Williamson, you know, we had an opportunity, thanks to you, by the way, because you kind of set us up when he was out on the PGA Tour, and I always thought he was an outstanding person. I was surprised to see him competing. Obviously, had been practicing a little bit. You don't go down there and play that kind of golf without preparing yourself, and boy, if he could just get out there. I mean, they talk about tours that are tough to get on. That Champions Tour is absolutely mind-boggling, a degree of difficulty just to get it to tee it up in one of their events.
So many guys could be successful, Bob, as you said, if they had status. But without question, this is the hardest of all the professional tours to find a spot on. It's really tough for those guys as they get ready to turn 50. And good luck to all the gentlemen playing down at Walt Disney World. So many guys could be successful, Bob, as you said, if they had status. But without question, this is the hardest of all the professional tours to find a spot on. It's really tough for those guys as they get ready to turn 50. And good luck to all the gentlemen playing down at Walt Disney World. You are listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, Audio Boom, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and TalkSport 2. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back to handicap the Hero World Challenge.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explain how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
So our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning. So we then kind of thought, well, what else can we do to enhance the enjoyment factor, the fun factor for the kids? And we kind of thought, well, what about golf balls? So what we've developed is easy-to-hit golf balls. So we've got a 60mm golf ball. Basically, it's about twice the size of a normal golf ball. Other sports like soccer and rugby, the balls are scaled to the age of the kids. So we're just applying common sense to make it easier for the kids to hit the ball, and these things just pop right up in the air. They're light, they're safe, and they're easy to hit.
Visit golfin.com, that's GOLPHIN.com, to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Once again, you're listening to The Grill Room. I'm Bob Bupke, proud to be alongside of Jay Randolph Jr. And don't forget, you can find Jay on Twitter at STLGolfGeek. Well, what about big drivers on the golf tours now, Jay? There are 27 current tour players that average 300 yards or more. When I read that, when I say that, I just can't believe what I'm saying.
Well, and you're dead on, because there's a difference in hitting 300 and averaging 300. Now, think about that. I mean, 20 years ago, Bob, guys were hitting at 270, and people were like, whoa. Now, 27 players average 300 yards or more. It's staggering. The technology, the matching of the drivers with the balls, and I know you're going to talk a little bit about the drivers, because to me, if you honestly, and I'm not pushing golf clubs or any manufacturer, but if you haven't gotten a new driver to put in your bag in the last 5 years, your driver is not as good as it should be. It just isn't with the technology.
No, you're right about that, Jay. And to shed a little more light on that 300-yard number, Tiger Woods, when he came out on tour back in 1996, he was the second-longest driver. He averaged 291. There was one guy slightly over 300. That was Big John Daly. And now, like we just talked about, 27 current players that average over 300 yards. And you want to know what drivers they use? Well, 15 of the big hitters use TaylorMade. 4 Titleist, 3 Callaway, 2 Nike, 1 Ping, 1 PXG, 1 Cobra. Now, immediately somebody's going to say, wow, TaylorMade must be the best driver. 15 big hitters use it. TaylorMade pays people to use their clubs. So bear that in mind before you run to your pro shop and make a TaylorMade purchase expecting that you're going to hit it 300 yards.
I think a lot of those guys, no matter what driver you gave them, would hit it 300 yards. They're just capable of doing that, and that's, again, staggering. It's not 27 guys that hit a 300-yard drive. It's 27 guys that averaged 300.
And one point that I would make for people that want to play better golf, if you don't have an adjustable head on your current driver, you are a little bit behind in the technology. You can buy a club now, and it'll have an adjustable head. Jay probably knows a lot more about this than I do with all the work that he does out at that Normandy Golf Club. But boy, when you can adjust that head, you can kind of fine-tune it, Jay, so that you can kind of dial it in to match your swing.
I mean, to think back in the day, if somebody would have come up to you or I and said, hey, if you just turn the screw a little bit, you can start turning the ball from right to left to right, or you can hit it a little higher, you can hit it a little lower. It really is amazing. We were working with somebody, in fact, today with the new Wilson Triton driver, and, I mean, it comes with its own little box, Bob, of tools that you got to use. Sam Snead would turn over in his grave if he saw what was going on, but it's where we're at. And like I said, and again, I'm not selling clubs. I'm not telling you to buy. But if you don't have a new driver, or if you haven't gotten a driver in a while, you're going out to that first tee with not the best equipment.
Well, it's not all new technology, because I had many a guy while I was playing that came up to me and said, Bob, if we just turn that little screw in the top of your head, you could be a much better golfer. So it's not always the equipment, but I think we make a good point and you may want to consider getting a driver that is adjustable and it will make some compromises in your mistake. So, hey, we're talking about the best in the world. I want to find out from Jay Randolph Jr. how his fantasy team did last week.
Well, it wasn't the best in the world, but I will tell you, I really like Russell Henley going in. He shot three rounds in the 60s. He finished tied for 10th, and he was a good pick. My kind of dark horse last week was Bryson DeChambeau, who opens with 66, and I don't know whether he celebrated or went out with Last Call Lance on Thursday night, because he came back with 75, did Bryson DeChambeau. I actually finished, I'll be honest, I finished 15,000 out of 29,411, and you know what that gets you? A handshake, and if you'd like to come back and play next week, we'll have you.
Well, you got to do me a favor. Don't tell anybody you're part of the Grill Room Show with that kind of batting average. Here's the odds down at the Bahamas for this week. Dustin Johnson, 5-1. Jordan Spieth, 6-1. Hideki, 13-2. Stenson, 10-1. Defending champion Bubba Watson, 15-1. And for the first time in his career, Tiger listed at 40-1 to win a golf tournament. And if you're thinking of taking your money and thinking that you want to make a wager on Tiger, I'll give you my home phone number. You can call me. I'll take all I can get on Tiger winning this event.
Yeah, Bob and I'll open up book for the weekend, that's for sure. You know, it ought to be 400-1. But, you know, it is Tiger Woods. My goodness, hasn't he had the flair that you saw in person, as you said, being at his 14 major championships. It just, people like you and I, who saw him at the best and were around him, really feel uncomfortable with this whole situation. And maybe things will change up. Maybe he'll surprise us come this weekend.
Well, it certainly would fall under the category a surprise. I think anything but 18th place would be a moral victory for Mr. Tiger Woods, but the Grill Room certainly wants to wish him the best of luck. He brings excitement to the game. When he brings excitement to the game, he brings excitement to the Grill Room Golf Show, and for that, we appreciate his efforts.
Who's your pick this week, Bob? Who you like down there?
Well, I'm going to go way out on a limb there and take Hideki Matsuyama. Who do you like, Jay?
Him. No, I know you like Hideki a lot. I'm going to go with the hot hand. He took a week off after coming back from Australia. I'm going to say that the good vibes continue for Jordan Spieth. He shot low down there a couple of years ago. I will go with one Jordan Spieth. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, Audio Boom, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and Talk Sport 2.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and the Golfin innovative clubs for all ages, beginners to winners. That's their goal. So for Janice Self, Jay the Stick Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Do us a favor, follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. And of course, you can like us on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.